Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Cook and Eat in Chinese by Bue Yang Kao is a landmark English-language Chinese cookbook first published in the mid-20th century. Written for American home kitchens, it aims to make Chinese food practical to cook while also explaining how Chinese meals are structured and enjoyed. The book is widely credited with helping introduce authentic techniques and vocabulary to English-speaking cooks, including popularizing terms such as stir-fry and pot stickers. More than a recipe collection, it functions as a cultural guide. It discusses ingredients, tools, and kitchen methods. And it frames cooking as part of daily life and identity rather than as exotic restaurant fare. Chow writes from lived experience across China and the United States and brings a distinctive voice that blends practicality with humor and observation. The result is both instructional and readable, offering a systematic pathway into Chinese home cooking for readers who want clarity, context, and food that tastes recognizably Chinese. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a systematic pathway into Chinese cooking. A defining feature of How to Cook and Eat in Chinese is its structured, teaching-oriented approach. Rather than presenting recipes as isolated dishes, the book guides readers through foundations that make later dishes easier to understand and execute. This method is often compared to the logic of a language primer. You learn key patterns, then apply them flexibly. Kao emphasizes core techniques and repeatable processes so that a cook can move from following instructions to cooking with confidence. That includes learning how to prep ingredients efficiently, how to sequence steps, and how to think about heat and timing in a Chinese-style kitchen. The practical value is that readers are not only told what to do, but also given enough context to troubleshoot. Because the book was written for American kitchens, it pays attention to feasibility, translating methods into equipment and ingredients a home cook can reasonably obtain. The combination of clear recipes and method-driven organization makes it an entry point for beginners, while still rewarding experienced cooks who want a deeper framework for understanding Chinese dishes beyond restaurant stereotypes. Secondly, techniques and the English vocabulary of Chinese food. The book is historically important for how it helps standardize English language terms for Chinese cooking. It is frequently credited with bringing words like stir-fry and pot stickers into common English usage, making techniques easier to discuss and teach. That linguistic work matters because Chinese cooking relies heavily on method controlling heat, cutting ingredients for fast cooking, and using quick sauces and aromatics to build flavor. By naming techniques in accessible English, Chow gave home cooks a way to remember and replicate them. The text explains how and why techniques work, not just that they exist. Stir-frying, for example, is treated as a practical solution for making flavorful food quickly, provided the cook understands preparation, high heat, and rapid movement. The book also clarifies cooking tools and utensil choices, helping readers map Chinese methods onto what they already have. Even when the language can feel dated to modern readers, the core accomplishment remains. It demystifies technique through explanation and terminology, giving readers a usable vocabulary for Chinese cooking that later cookbooks and food media could build on. Thirdly, ingredients, substitutions, and adaptation to American kitchens. Chow wrote at a time when many Chinese ingredients were harder to find in the United States, so her cookbook pays unusual attention to ingredients, availability, and practical substitution. The goal is not to dilute Chinese flavors into a generic version, but to preserve recognizable results with realistic shopping and equipment. Readers are introduced to key pantry items and flavor builders and are given guidance on how to handle them in a home setting. This focus supports the book's broader mission of making Chinese food cookable rather than merely admired. The recipes also include measurements and timing that reflect an American cookbook sensibility, which helps readers who are unfamiliar with more intuitive or market-based styles of instruction. That clarity has been part of the book's reputation for reliability. At the same time, Chow treats Chinese cooking as flexible, encouraging a theme and variations mindset where a basic method can accommodate different vegetables or proteins. This balance of authenticity and adaptation is one reason the book has remained useful. It is realistic about constraints while still teaching what makes the cuisine distinct in flavor and technique. Fourthly, How to Eat in Chinese meal structure, etiquette, and context. How to Cook and Eat in Chinese does not separate cooking from eating. Alongside recipes, it explains how Chinese meals are typically organized, how dishes relate to one another, and how dining customs shape what is cooked. For English-speaking readers, that cultural context is essential. It helps them understand why certain dishes appear together, why textures and temperatures vary across a meal, and why balance is achieved through contrast rather than through a single centerpiece plate. The book also offers guidance that improves the experience of serving Chinese food at home, such as how to think about multiple dishes on the table and how to pace cooking so food arrives hot and in the right sequence. This broader perspective pushes the reader beyond the idea of Chinese food as a set of takeout staples and toward an understanding of it as everyday home cooking with social rules and rhythms. The result is a cookbook that teaches cultural literacy as well as technique. Even readers who cook only a handful of recipes can gain a clearer sense of what makes a meal feel Chinese in structure and sensibility, not just in seasoning. Lastly, voice, humor, and the family cultural dimension. Another reason the book stands out is its voice. Chow writes with personality, humor, and a practical candor that makes the book readable even when you are not actively cooking. Commentators have described it as more than a cookbook, in the sense that it also stages aspects of personal and cultural experience. That tone helps bridge the gap between unfamiliar food and the reader's kitchen. Instead of presenting Chinese cuisine as mysterious, it becomes approachable and human. The book's linguistic playfulness also reflects its intellectual household, and it has been associated with family collaboration, including contributions and editorial shaping connected to her husband Yuan Ren Chao and other family members. Without relying on literary storytelling, the book still conveys what it means to translate a cuisine across languages and countries. For many readers, this combination of instruction and lived perspective is part of its lasting charm. It also explains why some modern readers notice dated phrasing or idiosyncratic coinages, while still valuing the warmth and authority behind the guidance. The cookbook teaches technique, but it also communicates a worldview in which cooking is culture made tangible at the table. In conclusion, How to Cook and Eat in Chinese is best for home cooks who want to understand Chinese food from the inside out, not just a list of popular dishes, but the methods, ingredients, and meal logic that make the cuisine coherent. It also suits readers interested in food history because it occupies a foundational place in how Chinese cooking was explained to American audiences in English. Practically, the book offers recipes that are known for being clearly written with concrete measurements and timing, helping cooks reproduce unfamiliar techniques with fewer surprises. Intellectually, it teaches a way of thinking about Chinese meals as a balanced table of contrasting flavors, textures, and cooking methods. And it provides cultural insight into how food is served and enjoyed. Compared with many modern Chinese cookbooks, it may feel less focused on glossy photography or narrow regional specialization, and some language may sound dated. Its advantage is its pioneering clarity, and its insistence that Chinese food is everyday, achievable, and worthy of careful explanation rather than simplification. For readers tired of Americanized restaurant versions and looking for authentic technique with cultural context, it remains an unusually influential and rewarding classic. If you would like to support Buwei Yang Cha, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.